Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
While we were glued to the Christine Ford Kavanaugh soap opera, terrorists were still plotting jihad. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Yes, indeed. While we were all glued to this soap opera yesterday, and don't tell me that you weren't, television, radio, internet, that is pretty much, except for when people had to actually do their job, that is pretty much what everyone was doing yesterday. Watching the hearings and the Senate, where Christine Ford was alleging that Brett Kavanaugh, when he was a high school kid, sexually assaulted her. And we're going to be talking about terror topics today, as usual. But I do want to put in my two cents about this this hearing and this situation. I am appalled. As a forensic, putting on my forensic psychiatrist hat, I am appalled at what has been going on in the Senate, listening to this woman who has no credibility in terms of no proof that it was Brett Kavanaugh. None of the people who she named as having been at this high school party say that they remember or have any kind of knowledge of any such party. Some of them saying they don't even know who, or they didn't know, they weren't friends with Kavanaugh to begin with. And yet, this took up the whole day yesterday, a whole hearing not only of the people in the Senate, but of America. And while we were dwelling on this, I'm going to tell you today about things that were happening in terrorism that were kind of important. But just to finish the Christine Ford matter, I believe, and I know some of you are listening to this and you're thinking, what, as a woman, as a psychiatrist, I can say this? Yes, because first of all, as a forensic psychiatrist, I have examined women, psychologically examined women, who have made allegations against men for sexual assault. And I have been on both sides of the fence, both sides retained by with the women plaintiffs and the male defendants. And in some cases, the women were absolutely right. They were assaulted and they were emotionally distressed by what happened to them. Had, you know, incredible damages by what happened to them. However, in some other cases, the women were what's called malingerers. They were lying. A lot of them had been sexually assaulted before, but just not by the man that they were blaming it on. And I believe that that is what is happening with Christine Ford, that I believe that she was sexually assaulted by someone. And I think it was someone prior to being 15, that's the year, the age that she claims that she was assaulted by Kavanaugh. The thing that's the giveaway for me as a psychiatrist is when she particularly talks about how she felt she was afraid she was going to die, that he was going to accidentally kill her because he was on top of her and he was heavy and he was big and, you know, basically that he would squash her and she would die. Now that is very similar to what I have heard many women talk about in terms of being sexually assaulted by their father or an uncle or a stranger, but a man, a bigger man, when they were a littler kid. So and that's why she's coming across as so credible. Because in fact, she was sexually assaulted. So the tears and the, you know, emotions are real. They are just directed at the wrong person. Well, that's all that I'll say about that for now, because we're supposed to be talking about terrorists. And the connection to terrorists is that while, as I said, we were all glued to this soap opera because it was riveting, there were lots of things going on around the world that was the continuous continuation of jihad, continuous plotting and so on by jihadists. Now, I'm going to talk about some things that happened in the Netherlands and in Belgium, and then I'm going to go to something that happened in New York City that I hadn't heard of until yesterday when it was happening, and until today when I was preparing this podcast, and it's rather important. But let's first go, we'll kind of build up to that. Let's go to the Netherlands. The Netherlands arrested seven men over an alleged plot to carry out a major terrorist attack involving guns and explosives. So they arrested seven men. These men were planning to carry out what they called a major terrorist attack at a public event using explosive belts and an AK-47 assault rifle. They were trying to get these weapons, AK-47s, hand grenades, and bomb materials. The men were between 21 and 34. Three of them had been arrested previously for trying to travel abroad to join foreign militants. The man at the center of the group is a 34-year-old Iraqi, convicted in 2017 for trying to travel to fight for the Islamic State group. And they were tipped off about this plot in April. In the Netherlands, the authorities were tipped off in April by intelligence services. And they were told, or they discovered, that this main suspect wanted to target, quote, a large event in the Netherlands where there would be a lot of victims. So they conducted surveillance on them and waited until they, you know, had until they had enough evidence that they were actually going forward with their plans for this attack. And they discovered that these terrorists wanted to carry out twin attacks involving a bomb and a gun attack at an event and a car bomb somewhere else. So they were also not only seeking these weapons, but they were seeking firearms training. And when they were arrested, they had five small handguns. Now the Netherlands is currently at a threat level of 4 out of a maximum of 5. And that is probably due to, or at least in part due to, the fact that earlier this month, there was an attack, which you may or may not have heard of. It was kind of kept quiet. There was a jihadist who stabbed two American tourists in Amsterdam, and he was shot. So that's presumably the reason why the terrorist threat level was raised then. Well, let me tell you now about Belgium. This is kind of a very interesting story. Did you know, because I didn't, that Belgium, by the way, just a reminder for those of you who haven't listened to all my podcasts, I went to medical school in Belgium, the University of Leuven. Belgium is one of the countries, along with France and the UK, that are near and dear to my heart because I lived in those countries as well. So when I hear about something like this happening to Belgium, it is particularly disturbing. I'll give you the headline for this story, and I'll go into more details when we come back. Belgium, the headline of the topic is Belgium suspends aid to the Palestinian Authority Education Ministry for naming schools after terrorists. The bottom line that I'll go into in the next segment is that Belgium has been giving money to the Palestinian Authority to found schools, and then they discover that these schools have been named for terrorists. Now, as you may well know, Belgium has become a hotbed for terrorists. They were the terrorists who were involved in the Paris attacks. The mastermind was in Belgium. And there's a particular area in Belgium near Brussels called Molenbeek that is a hotbed of terrorism. Terrorists were continuing to plot jihad against the West. And I'm telling you about some stories, a sort of a potpourri of stories that were going on yesterday while we were not paying attention at all. Okay, well, so I was starting to talk about, I mentioned about the Netherlands, this attack that they foiled, and Belgium. So the Belgian Ministry of Development Cooperation just announced that the glorification of terrorism or perpetrators of terrorist acts is not acceptable under any circumstances. Well, yes, we kind of know that, but this is what it's in connection to. As I mentioned, Belgium has donated money to the Palestinian Authority, and only to find out that this money that was to go to schools has been, these schools that the Belgians paid for, Belgian taxpayers paid for, have been named after terrorists. And Belgium, as I was saying, is a hotbed of terrorism, not only in regard to places sending out terrorists like the Mastermind and other terrorists who attacked Paris in 2015, but also even within Belgium, there have been attacks. You may remember the one at the airport not long ago and the train station. So basically, Belgians discovered that they were paying for terrorists for schools to teach kids to become terrorists. Because what, you know, you go to a school named after a hero terrorist, what is the message to these kids? So they discovered that the Palestinian Authority had named two schools after a terrorist, Dalal Mughrabi. So Belgium severed all financial support to the Palestinian Authority Ministry of Education. Now, the Palestinian Media Watch exposed that Belgium had forced the Palestinian Authority to rename a school funded by the Belgian government because it was named after a terrorist. But so they, you know, they're saying Belgium made the Palestinian Authority rename a school. Okay, but on the same day that the Palestinian Authority did that, renamed this school because Belgium caught on and they were angry, the Palestinian Authority named two other schools in the same neighborhood over terrorists, after the same terrorists. So they took down the name, they changed the name of the one when Belgium found out that they had used their money to fund a school that they then named after a terrorist. And then, so instead, they named two other schools after this terrorist. So Belgium did not like being mocked like this. And they canceled all funding of Palestinian Authority schools until no schools are named after terrorists, not only the ones funded by Belgium. In September 2017, when the Palestinian Media Watch published a special report exposing that the Palestinian Authority Ministry of Education named schools or systematically named schools after terrorists in general and has named at least 32 schools after terrorists and three after Nazi collaborators. So some 41 schools glorify martyrs and martyrdom. And so then also that's what in the report, in this report of September 27, 2017, that's when, you know, they reported that one of the schools named after Dalal Mughrabi, who was a terrorist who led the murder of 37 civilians, that school was named after money from Belgium. So they were kind of tricky. When Belgium gave them the money, they called it the Beit Awa School. And then when Belgium stopped paying attention, that's when they named it to Dalal Mughrabi Elementary School. So then in July 2018, it was exposed that despite Belgium's complaints, the school was still named after this terrorist, Dalal Mughrabi. And then it finally changed the name of the school to the Belgian School. But then that's when they renamed a nearby school after the same terrorist. And they named it the Martyr Dalal Mughrabi Elementary School. And then they named the second Dalal Mughrabi Republic School. So now Belgium is fed up, realized that they can't trust the Palestinian Authority, and they have canceled all funding of Palestinian Authority schools until no schools, not only the ones who are funded by Belgium, but no schools are named after terrorists. So that was a good thing to do. It's kind of, that story tells a lot about basically how the Palestinian Authority isn't trustworthy, how we need to pay more attention. You can't just go home and expect the schools to be, or, you know, expect things to be as you wanted them to be. I mean, even after donating money. Okay, well, let me go to the main thing that is that happened yesterday while we were glued to the soap opera in the Senate. Well, that was happening in D.C., not that far away in New York City at the UN. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was giving a speech, and he was talking about and holding up photographs of two atomic warehouses in Tehran, one that he had revealed in a previous talk at the UN. And then yesterday, his talk was to reveal a second place where Iran was keeping things related to their ongoing plan for nuclear weapons. So he talked about a secret atomic warehouse in Tehran. He accused Europe of appeasing Iran, and he... and I'll tell you how that is. I mean, he's not the only one to bring that up. That is actually happening. Let me just tell you, Europe, you know, the United States, President Trump and the United States pulled out of the Iran agreement not long ago, and which I think was finally. That they should never, the U.S. should never have entered into it in the first place, because there are all kinds of problems with it that we don't really have time to get into today. But hopefully, that debate has been around for a while, so you know about that. But really, the bottom line is that it did not provide enough security for the U.S. and it was only for 10 years, and there were lots of other problems with it. So Europe is a little angry at the U.S. right now, a little angry. And so they actually have purposely continued going along with this agreement with Iran. And it's kind of, it's not a smart move, because just right after I'm talking about what Belgium discovered, clearly it's not a good idea for the European Union to trust Iran either, to trust terrorists basically either. I think it's more out of their disdain and annoyance for the various things that that President Trump has been doing, which has been correct and long overdue in terms of tariffs and trying to get a fairer deal for the U.S. and pulling out of the climate accord, which was not to say that we are not for don't believe in climate problems, but just that accord was not done in a fair way. So finally, the U.S. has a tough president, a strong president who is trying to make America great again, and that has shaken up Europe. But they are doing the wrong thing in going along with their enemies, you know, with Iran, with this nuclear deal, it just to spite the U.S., because really they're going to be the ones who are going to end up being hurt as well. Just want to put in one, I can't help getting back to that, but I just want to say that, you know, in all of the cases that I mentioned earlier that I have worked on as a psychiatric expert witness, cases of women, and I've also worked on cases of men, like in the priest abuse cases, for example, people alleging sexual assault or abuse or rape or whatever. Now that's, you know, which is a kind of a key thing, that she is not saying that he raped her. And one only has to wonder, you know, how, even if it was him, we're talking about high school, and I would love to see, you know, the people who live in glass houses, the people who were so ready to jump on Kavanaugh as being an evil man, you know, how many of those people in that Senate hearing, how many of those men drank in high school and college, and how many of those men at high school parties and even college parties would kiss women, would try to, you know, get as far as they could with women. I mean, again, she's not saying, she never said that he raped her. It seems to me a whole lot of a tempest in a teapot. Not the fact that women, I don't mean that it's a tempest in a teapot that women get sexually assaulted. That is a problem, and that needs to stop, especially, it's especially horrendous on college campuses that has increased horribly. But I'm talking about this particular case in which there is no credible evidence that it was Kavanaugh. Okay, anyway, getting back to what happened at the UN yesterday while we were watching the Senate, that Netanyahu gave an important speech where he pointed to literally pointed on a map to two circled areas in Tehran, circled in red, where he was talking about a second spot where there was evidence of activity of Iran not stopping their nuclear ambitions, which, of course, it was stupid for us to think that they would in the first place. So it is not such a big surprise. I mean, it's great. It's important. It's not great, but it's important that clearly Israel has means of detecting these things. And it is important that they are doing this work for which the United States should be very grateful, because it's not just Israel that Iran wants to attack and annihilate. They have made it clear that they want to do that to the U.S. as well. So the fact that Netanyahu found a second spot in Tehran that is rife with nuclear activity of some sort, it's important and significant and should have gotten more attention or at least as much attention as the Senate hearing. So what he had shown, it's been 4.5 months since President Trump withdrew from the accord with Iran, the nuclear accord, saying that it did too little to rein in Iran's nuclear ambitions, and triggering, because he withdrew, it triggered the resumption of U.S. sanctions on Iran. So Iran is not happy these days. And so Netanyahu's speech, what he said, I am disclosing for the first time that Iran has another secret facility in Tehran, a secret atomic warehouse for storing massive amounts of equipment and material from Iran's secret nuclear program. So now, of course, Iran, an Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said that the world will only laugh loudly at this type of false, meaningless, and unnecessary speech and false shows. And then Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, said, there should be more scrutiny on Israel's nuclear program. He said, quote, no arts and crafts show. He was referring to the, it was a photograph with this, these red circles around the places in Tehran where there was nuclear ambition, activity. He said, no arts and crafts show will ever obfuscate that Israel is only regime in our region with a secret and undeclared nuclear weapons program, including an actual atomic arsenal. Time for Israel to fess up and open its illegal nuclear weapons program to international inspectors. Well, the only difference between Iran and Israel, though, in terms of nuclear arms, is that Israel has not threatened and does not plan to use these whatever they may have. I'm not privy to exactly what they have, but let's even assume that they have nuclear weapons. I don't think that is much of a secret, really. They are not planning or have not threatened to any other countries to use them on anybody. It is just for protection. Whereas Iran, time and time again, leaders have said, we're going to annihilate the U.S. and Israel. So now getting to Europe, France, Britain, Germany, China, and Russia, France and Britain and Germany, in regard to Europe, the European Union, as well as China and Russia, have stayed in the pact, in this pact with Iran, vowing to save it despite the U.S. having restored sanctions against Iran. And this week there were meetings to discuss some kind of a barter mechanism that they hope may allow Iran to circumvent the U.S. measures. So, I don't know, they're going to, trying to do something to make the U.S. The U.S. sanctions not be as strong. And in this speech, part of the speech was Netanyahu criticizing Europe for doing so. So now, there have been some, there's a question, the question is how soon would Iran attack the U.S., perpetrate a terrorist attack against the U.S.? Now, there was recently something posted on Instagram from Iran's Special Operations Force that showed a man, the leader of this force, the commander, holding a walkie-talkie while the White House is engulfed in flames behind him. And there was a caption that read, "We will crush the USA under our feet." So, I mean, they're not kidding, folks. They haven't given up. It's not like suddenly Iran and terrorists have decided, this is too much trouble. We'll forget it. They are still planning to attack us, okay? Again, while we were just trying to decide whether Christine Ford was telling the truth or, listening to all of these things. By the way, in terms of telling the truth, there were lots of things where the prosecutor caught her in lies. The most obvious was where she talked about how this alleged sexual assault caused her, one of the effects was to cause her to not be able to fly. She had fear of flying because of claustrophobia. And then it turned out that she had been flying all over the world to surf, which is another thing that someone who had been sexually assaulted wouldn't typically do. Although, as I said, I do think she was, just not by Kavanaugh. But a surfer, that kind of risky situation is not something that someone would do who typically, if they have PTSD from a sexual assault. Just saying. So, the question is, so not only are they not giving up, but they're actually in the U.S. earlier in 2018, there have been reports from intelligence officials and former White House officials. They testified before Congress that an Iranian-supported attack on U.S. soil is not just fiction, not just, you know, a fantasy. They acknowledged, quote, "We do face a threat," unquote, due to the existence of, quote, "sleeper cells," unquote, within the U.S. directed by Iran and or Hezbollah. So again, this is not fantasy, folks, and we should be paying attention, at least equal, if not more, attention to what is going on at the UN and what is going on all over the world. As I mentioned, the Netherlands, Belgium, the Palestinian Authority, all of these things. And there were more. This is a potpourri of the highlights that I selected as highlights. Certainly the UN speech is the most important highlight. And we can't, just like, I guess the moral of the story is, just like Belgium donated the money to the Palestinian Authority and then they went home and turned their back and then the Palestinian Authority named the schools after terrorist martyrs, we can't turn our backs. We can't stop paying attention to what is going on in the world of terror. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.